Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. I am your host, Calvin Ward, and I will be bringing you some of the best spiritually motivated discussions, interviews, and debates that you have ever heard. So what I want you to do right now is sit back, tune in, invite a friend. And remember, you're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast, and I am your host, Calvin D. Ward. Thanks for listening. Greetings to everybody that is tuned in. This is Calvin Ward here, and I want to thank you for listening. What I'm going to do right now, because we had our guest had an emergency situation that popped up, and so we're just going to continue to go on, y'all. You know, I started this show a while back, and, you know, I have guests on, we have people on, you know, and, you know, when situations happen, we just pray. But what I'm going to do, as always, play a track for you guys. I'm going to play a track for you guys out there, and I'm going to switch up tonight, and we're going to talk about witchcraft in the church. We're going to talk about witchcraft in the church. I won't be with you long. We're just going to talk about witchcraft in the church, because this is a powerful subject, and witchcraft in the church is something that we need to talk about. A lot of people have been manipulated. They have been hoodwinked, as they say, bamboozled. Run them up. But they have been deceived. So we want to talk about witchcraft in the church. We're just going to switch up on the title on tonight. I'm going to play a track for you guys, a small track for you guys, and then we're going to come back. What I do want you to do is invite somebody. And again, you know, we're going back with the radio show. We're going live. If you know someone out there that has a voice that needs to be heard, I want you to contact me and get with me. Call this number, 563-999-3721, and have them connect with me so that we can get them on the show. I definitely want to hear what they have to say. We're trying to platform people, and we want people to be able to get a different type of word, but this is a prophetic show. So we want to talk to you guys about the prophetic and about some subjects you may have never heard talked about before. So be blessed. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to take a small break, and when we come back, we're going to get right into witchcraft in the church. Thank you guys. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. We had a special guest, emergency situation came up, but what we're going to do tonight is talk about witchcraft in the church. Yes, witchcraft in the church. So if you have a comment, if you have any comments that you want to make on that, you know, of any people who have been to that situation, give us a call, 563-999-3721. Again, 563-999-3721. You are tuned into the Strategically Prophetic Radio Podcast. Tonight we're talking about witchcraft in the church.
We all like the sunshine, brighten up our day. It brings to us enjoyment to hear the children laugh and see them play. But then there comes a dark cloud and it rains on your parade. But you don't have to worry, the storms will pass away. I know you've got problems, things you cannot solve.
Everything will be okay.
You don't have to worry. The storm will pass away. You don't have to worry.
thank you guys for tuning in. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward. Tonight, we had a special guest, but there was an emergency situation, so we're flexible, right? And we're going to move and switch the topic and talk a little bit about witchcraft in the church. So I want you to invite a friend. I want you to sit back. And again, we're doing this show during this COVID-19 time to supplement word out there. Again, you're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. The call-in number is 563-999-3721. Thank you for tuning in. Yes, it is that time again, you guys. You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. This is your host, Calvin, always bringing you excellence in the prophetic. I want you to stay tuned. We have some great things for you on today. I want you to invite a friend out to listen to the radio broadcast. Look, you can send them a link, y'all. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we're always bringing you some fresh revelation, some fresh word, and some fresh topics. So, stay tuned, sit back, and relax. Don't forget to text or email a friend, post on Facebook. And again, you are tuned into the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. All right, guys, this is Calvin, and I want to thank you guys for tuning into the show tonight. I am super flexible, very flexible. We had a situation on tonight where our guest had an emergency situation, and she could not come on tonight. So we switched the topic. I switched the topic over to witchcraft in the church. So why is that a topic that I want to talk about? Because in this time, a lot of people, as they came up in church, people may have heard about Babylon. They may have heard about the city of Babylon, but they don't know much about it. They may have heard about the Tower of Babel. They don't know much about it. They may have heard about Satan. They may have heard about, you know, hell, witches and warlocks, and they may have heard about demons and devils. And I did a broadcast, you can go back and check it, talking about angels and demons, right? And had a show on there. And I'm going to bring back, hopefully, Apostle Terrence Elliott and have him come back with us to get more in depth on that. I really enjoyed the show with Apostle Elliott. And we had Dr. Hargett on as well. And so for those of you who tuned into that message, it was very, very powerful. Listen, everybody has their own purpose in life. So witchcraft is an important topic because witchcraft, at the crux of it, it is manipulation. Witchcraft, at the crux of witchcraft, is manipulation. And so I want to show you some things. I'm going to talk about some things, and I want to give you a scripture or two. But, you know, when you talk about witchcraft, you're talking about basically control and manipulation. You're talking about control and manipulation. You're talking about one person, and the definition, as it was revealed to me, is any person that wishes to try to control or manipulate another individual, another human soul. So it's any actions, any intentions, or any actions that are taken by one human to try to influence the soul or the spirit of another human. So that means these are individuals that, you know, as they say, they used to say in the military, quid pro quo. So I think that's a Latin phrase, or this for that, right? So this for that. So it was just a lot of things, a lot of ways that people can conduct witchcraft. A lot of marriages, you're not going, you know, you're not doing anything until you get sex. That's witchcraft. Or people manipulate the money to try to control the wife. Wife manipulates sex to control the husband. This is witchcraft. When it comes into the church and the body of Christ, one of the things that I want to show people, that I want to show you in the scriptures, and we're going to go to the book of Galatians, because I want to show you this so you can see it for yourself, and you will know, is that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. And a lot of people really jump, hop, and skip over that fact. And so let's go to the book of Galatians. I'm going to go to chapter 5. And for y'all that are listening, this is a talk show, right? And this is me. This is a platform I use to get the word out, to encourage people. I've inspired other people to write books. I've inspired other people to do radio shows, TV. I've inspired other people to preach, inspired other people, you know, to do what they do in the Lord. So whatever you have to do in God, or whatever you are called to do, you need to do it and do it well and be strong in it and be encouraged in it, especially at this time. This COVID-19 should not be preventing you from going forth to do what it is you're called to do. It should release a spirit of creativity in you to prepare for the things that are coming. It should release, you know, a different type of creativity in you to be able to do what God has called you to do. So in the book of Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read starting at verse 19, and it says, and this is the King James Version, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." The first one, it says adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and then we have witchcraft. Then it says hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And it continues on, "and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So here it does well to differentiate the kingdom of God from the kingdom of heaven in the scriptures, right? The kingdom of God from the kingdom of heaven in the scriptures. How God operates, kingdom-minded, how God operates, his character, his ways, his methodologies, his strategies, kingdom of God, versus an actual domain, an actual physical, or an actual, not physical, but an actual domain or location, right? Like the kingdom of heaven. So this is something that we see in the scripture. So everything I just mentioned, we know a lot of governments operate in that. And so if you are one of those people, you know, you're a liar, you know, you're often in drunkenness, revelings, you know, people that do coarse joking, you know, adultery, all these things will keep you from the kingdom of heaven, and witchcraft is here. And so one of the reasons I like to emphasize that is because a lot of Christians do not believe, and they do not think that they can operate in witchcraft, though a lot of people say, "I'm saved, and I'm, you know, I'm saved, and I can't operate in witchcraft, and, you know, witchcraft this and witchcraft that." But the truth of the matter is this: witchcraft is right in the church. It's rampant in the church. Control. And the first element of that is, you know, the tithe. So when you talk about control and manipulation and witchcraft, you usually have another individual, spirit, soul, another intellectual being, another sentient being who is trying to implement and impute their will and their agenda in the earth realm and in an area. And what they have done is said, "I can't get my will done. I can't get my agenda done unless I have other people who can get on board with me, and I need to manipulate people." So even right now in this COVID-19, a lot of things that happen, people do not understand, is witchcraft. Witchcraft is one of the chief operations of Luciferians, because they want to do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. So as I say, they have that Isley Brothers anointing. And y'all remember the Isley Brothers. The Isley Brothers was a group, and they had a song called, I believe the name of the song was "It's Your Thing." And I believe that was the Isley Brothers. You know, so we got people who go around, you know, they say, "It's my thing, you know, this is my life, and I do whatever I want to do with it." Well, you continue to do that. You would think that marriage would have told people that your life is not your life. You would have thought that when people got married and had children, that children let people know, and children would change people's lives to let them know that your life is not your own. You can't do what you want to do. And then on top of that, there's just a higher maturity level in understanding that you are a human. You are a sentient human being. You are part of a human collective with a united consciousness, and the things and the thoughts that you have, the actions that you take, they are indelibly imprinted, and they affect other people. And you would think that human people would understand that, or a sentient being would understand that, but everybody does not. And so the motto, as they say, of the satanic worshiper, "Do what thou wilt" is the whole of the law. It represents and embodies the spirit of Satan, who does what he wants to do. He was cast down from the heights, or the original, as they say, was cast down from the heights, and he wanted to be like the Most High. So to be like the Most High, some would say that's not satanic, but to be like the Most High and to exclude the Most High, to try to get access to the divine without going through the process by which the one and only true God, Yahweh Elohim, has laid out for you. See, when the Ten Commandments were given, and they call it the Decalogue, it's written in the Torah being the teachings, and they call it, or Torah, it's called Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Again, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah of the teachings, right? You have in there, I believe, the book of Exodus, the Ten Commandments, where Moses goes up to receive that. The Ten Commandments are also more accurately called the Ten Sayings, But it's also referred to as the Decalogue. But thou shalt have, one of the Ten Commandments are, thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So one of the things that I like to hone in on is that when it says thou shalt have no other gods before me, that word God there, and this is why you need to know Hebrew, that word God there is powers. Or thou shalt have no other gods before me. Some translate no other powers before me, but the word translates Elohim, Elohim, gods. There. So what was Yahweh Elohim saying? Yahweh Elohim was saying that there are other entities out here, there are other powers out here who can try to manipulate or present themselves to you as gods, but thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Elohim is a Hebrew word. It is plural, right? And so he said, you shall have no other powers, God with a lower G, before me. I am it. I am he. And so we see here that there are other powers out there. These are spiritual powers. They are out there. But God has outlined a way to get to him. And this is what the Christian believes. The Christian is he who receives that Christ Jesus was both here historically, spiritually, and they receive that he died for their sins, right? They receive, Christians receive that Christ or Yeshua died for their sins. And because he died for their sins, he was also resurrected on the third day. He didn't resurrect himself. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that resurrected him. Therefore, it was God the Father, or Yahweh Elohim, who resurrected Yeshua up on the third day. And he was resurrected with all power. And he sits on the right hand side of the Father. And when he was resurrected, the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the power of Holy Spirit. Now, when you say that, just say it, Holy Spirit. There is spirit, there is impure spirit, and then there's Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again because somebody's going to get that. There is spirit, there is impure spirit, and there is Holy Spirit. There is demonic spirit, there is Holy Spirit, right? And so he gave us measure of his spirit down here, which is the earnest in this earth realm, that we may go forth and we may operate as he operated so that we can help to wake up mankind. Mankind needs to wake up from the slumber that sin has placed them in. So, man, and what is that slumber? They are caught in the physical realm, caught in sinful acts, caught in the works of the flesh, caught in the mentality that this is all that there is. They have been duped. So it is this foolishness of the preaching of the gospel that allowed the preaching of Jesus Christ, the preaching that you need to be, that you need to repent of your sins. You need to receive the Lord, Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, and that you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can be a light, so that you can go out and preach and teach and let people become awakened. But what we have had happen is the gospel has been preached. Some people have the Holy Spirit, some people don't, but people are still not awakened. People have been preached a gospel that has been mixed with another spirit. And so this is where the spirit of witchcraft comes in, because an individual, this is why you purify, because you purify, and holiness is right, because you purify, that you can purify your spirit. The more you purify your spirit through the tools, or as I call them, the technologies of the spirit that are given to us, which is prayer, number one. Number two is fasting, right? Prayer and fasting. These are two of the, and then meditation on this word, but these are two of the technologies, prayer and fasting, that we have. And I say the third one is decreeing and declaring, or using the power of prophecy, because we can prophesy his word. If we use these tools that have been given to us, these are the tools by which we can purify ourselves through fasting and prayer, and we can decree and declare and prophesy in the physical realm. And our words are so connected to spirit. So in the beginning, God said, in the beginning, Yahweh said, in the beginning, Yahweh Elohim said, he said and it was. We still have that image imprinted on us. We have been made in the image of God. So what is the image of God? That God is a speaking, creative spirit, that he speaks to create. The image of God, the image of God. So I think that needs to be defined as well, because when we talk about the Antichrist or the image of the beast, then we have to understand the image of God. This is translating the scriptures with the scriptures. This is using the law of first mentions in the scriptures. This is getting the right understanding, hermeneutic analysis, grammatical, historical approach to interpreting the scriptures, and not just having somebody with their great selves because they got a degree or they call themselves a preacher just say, believe whatever I am saying. We have to have a right interpretation of the scriptures. And yes, your interpretation can be off, if it's not taught to you the correct way, or if you don't have other levels of understanding. Your level of understanding, as you understand it now, can be true, but it can also be topical, right? And it can be true. However, there are other layers of understanding. There are other layers of understanding that are there because these layers are reveal depth of revelation. You know, another layer might be you might read it and get a literal understanding. And scripture lets us know in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, if you have ever been there, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, the scripture lets us know there when it talks about there being, you know, the bread, the milk of the bread and the meat of the word. These are even three levels to the word. And it can be said that every scripture has these three levels in it. But in that chapter of Hebrews chapter 5, if you go there in Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going there now, what you will find out is that at the end of chapter 5, and, you know, it was almost like a rebuke, you know, because he says here, verse 12 in Hebrews chapter 5, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He says there's a time you should be teachers, but now someone has to go back again to the beginning and give you the oracles of God. And then he says here, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Babies still drink milk. And to tell the truth, humans are some of the only mammals that still drink the breast milk or still drink milk as that substance that is meant for weaning babies. We still drink it in adulthood from animals. Those that use milk are unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And this is what it says. Verse 14 says, but strong meat, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here it talks about having your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Having your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then it goes into chapter 6 and gives you some of the levels of maturity that need to be there or some of the doctrines. And so how does this connect to witchcraft? Because witchcraft is a work of the flesh. As I went to Galatians chapter 5, I think it's 19 through 22, to let you know that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. So witchcraft is manipulation. So when we think of a witch or a warlock, what are they doing? It's called spells because you're spelling. Spells. Spells. You're spelling. What happens when you spell? You put letters together to form words. Words form sentences, right? And you have different types of sentences, you know, commanding sentences, imperative, understood. But it's called spelling because you are taking your speech and you're spelling out and you're prophesying, decreeing, and declaring using the image of God, part of the image of God on your life, which is to speak and to create. You're using that to create. You're using that. You're tapping into that power. But what they do, they use it for their own will. They use it for their own agendas and their own satanic agendas, right? And so some may say, well, how different is that from a Christian who says, I want a house, I want this, I'm going to prophesy, I'm going to believe God. You know, the difference is some Christians actually operate in what I call biblical witchcraft because their agenda and their heart and their mind is not in a place where they're trying to help the body of Christ. They just want to help themselves. Like we have some of these multimillionaire, you know, ministries and millions of dollars. Why don't we have some of the biggest food distribution, you know, places where we can empower people, hire people, get food out? You know, why didn't some of these guys take a couple million dollars and say, we're going to go out here and, you know, we're going to start some organizations to go out here and just do some really big things? Or some of these Christians pull their money together to go out here and help. A lot of the monies that come from ministry, a lot of these people that get money in, they keep it for themselves. So how is witchcraft seen in the church? Because you have people in the form of pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers who get up and they give the body. They don't give you a word that sustains. They don't give you Greek, Hebrew. They don't give you understanding and knowledge, wisdom. They don't teach the might, fear of the Lord. They don't teach you repentance in Jesus' name, baptism and water is in his name, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. These are people who just teach you. Every time you turn around, I got a school showing you how to be an apostle, showing you how to operate in the prophetic. Come buy my new book. Come over here to my ministry. Just listen to me. Don't forget to give your offering, give your tithes. Don't forget to sow your money. These are people that are doing ministry for what they can get from it in the name of the Lord, but they are just empty shells, empty souls. They are there manipulating people like you to give your money, manipulating you to come listen and take your time, but you're not being built up. You're not being edified. You know, and a huge example of that is right now that we have people who are in need. And, you know, I shared the story about a gentleman. He was 90-some years old, and this story was shared to me by another pastor, and how no one from his church visited him. How is it that you can sow money into ministries and into churches, and then in your greatest time of need, not even get a phone call, not even get a check, don't even get a visitation? Because the same pastors and leaders have been using witchcraft to teach to you, because now these same pastors and leaders who said they believe God, they believe in healing, they believe in deliverance, they believe are the same ones locked up in their house scared right now, wanting to teach you from a screen because they're too afraid to have church, they're too afraid to host people. These are the same people that were preaching to you faith, and it is evidence that they don't believe what they believe. They don't believe what they are preaching. It's easy for you when you have a huge mansion to sit up in your house, when you got a 5,000 or 6,000 square foot house, and say, I'm going to sit up in my house and I'm going to be on quarantine. And then you don't have to work. You still got money coming in and you still have resources and you're not worried about anybody else. You know what I'm saying? Versus the person who has an apartment, who lives in the hood, who lives in a house, who still has to work to pay the bills, who have lost their job. Right. So these are evidences that your pastors were not really having a heart to serve, that they had another agenda. This is witchcraft. And a lot of pastors manipulate people to give. You need to give or God's going to curse you. This is why the tithe, as it is taught, is witchcraft. And every pastor that teaches the tithe is operating at a level of witchcraft, because you're telling people who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ or Yeshua, you're telling them that they're under a curse, which is coming from an Old Testament perspective, if they do not give a percentage of their money to the church or to, as they say, God. When how can they be placed under a curse if the scripture is clear that cursed is he that hangeth on a tree? The scripture is clear. It says cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. So what are we talking about here? Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Who could that be talking about? Who could that be talking about? I'm going to find this for you. I want to find you the scripture, because that is a scripture that is talking about Christ. Christ hung on wood, but he hung it on a cross, right? And he hung on the cross and he died for our sins. But see, what you don't understand, because what is not told to you is the fact that, let's go to Galatians 3. I was in Galatians 5:19. Let's go to Galatians 3. So Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 12. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 12 says, and I'm going to start at 12 and go to 14, but it says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Then verse 13 is where I want to go. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So I just read to you, y'all, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. So there is no edict within the law, whether you do it or not, that can place you under a curse. I just read this. So if you are in willful subjection to this false doctrine of the tithe, you do it willfully and put yourself under a curse, and you put yourself under bondage for yourself. But it says here that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. This is why. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And verse 14 says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are people who are not black. That's a whole other discussion. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. So the doctrine of the tithe, those that are teaching that you need to give 10% of your money or you're going to be under a curse, they're teaching witchcraft. They're teaching heretical doctrine, unbiblical doctrine, and it's anti-Christian doctrine. Because if it's not Christian doctrine or doctrine, which is another word for teachings, that are hand in hand with the scriptures as we know them, that are rightly interpreted in their proper context, then that are rightly interpreted in their proper context, then they are out of order, they are out of line, they are not Christ, or they are anti-Christ. Anti, a word meaning not just opposite. No, it means to replace or in the stead of. So what they're doing is putting their own doctrine in the stead of Christian doctrine, or they're taking what Christ has said, and because they lack the true understanding, the research, the true biblical exposition, the hermeneutical analysis, or the research, because they want to, they don't want to seek out the word for themselves, they give you their interpretation or what works for them, because they don't want you to be free. They want you to continue to pay your money, continue to sow your seeds, right? And so they want you to sow the seeds and claim you're going to be under a blessing. And a big part of this too is the witchcraft. People post up testimonies. Well, I sowed this money and this happened, and I sowed this and this happened. Well, Christianity is not an infomercial. You need to go sit your red, yellow, and black, blue behind down somewhere saying that you are preaching the gospel, using the gospel like it is an infomercial. You understand what I'm saying? You don't manipulate. That again is manipulation. Showing testimony. Somebody sold this money. Because what are you manipulating? You are trying to influence people to give you more money by the sheer fact that you post up a testimony. By the sheer fact you got a building fund. You have all this money. People have been tithing for years. Where is this money going? It should have been stored up in the concept called the storehouse. And I'll come back and do another teaching on the tithe, but that's just one of it. I mean, one of the ways people manipulate. And then in general teachings, you know, you go, you have some churches and they try to tell people, you know, they try to marry people in the church, or they try to use prophecy. God told me to tell you this. See, a lot of witchcraft is in the prophetic as well. It's in prophecy, because you have prophets, or you have witches in the stead of, they come in churches in the stead of prophets saying the Lord said, but the Lord has not said. And so every time you get people always trying to tell you, God told me this for you, God told me this for you, God told me to tell you, there's a level of manipulation there. Because if you are living a life, and people used to come to me and say, what is the word? What is the word? What the word is, go read your Bible. Because if you are living a life, then the Holy Spirit will either put you on my heart, or if you come to me and ask me to pray for you, I will pray for you. And if a word is revealed, it is revealed. Some people try to manipulate the Spirit to get a word from the spirit realm when they don't live a life that warrants anything being spoken to them. Ministry is about relationship, and some people just don't have relationship, but they want power without relationship. They want benefits without relationship. That is a mindset of witchcraft all in and of itself. And this is the level of witchcraft that I've been talking about called biblical witchcraft, because the biblical witchcraft tends to take scriptures, human psyche, human agenda, and it wants to mix it together to manipulate people to give, to manipulate people to stay, to manipulate people to do things in the church, or stay connected to a man, a woman, a denomination, or an organization. When we say people are not blessed because they don't tithe, right? And then the other way witchcraft is used in the church is when people leave the church. I've never understood when a pastor, and I got pastor friends, and they say that people, you know, leave their church. You know, they say, you know, so-and-so left the church, and then they talk about them like a dog. I never understood that, because how can you talk about someone like a dog? First, you called yourself a shepherd. So if you were a shepherd, this is part of your flock. So were they a part of your flock or were they not? Because it's funny how God is speaking to them as long as they are staying at your church, as long as they're doing what you want them to do. But as soon as they have a will of their own, or they claim they can hear God for themselves, or God has told them something, then all of a sudden they are rebellious, they are the devil, and then, you know, everything is wrong, right? They're rebellious, they're the devil, and people want to, you know, scandalize their name as it has been said. These are things that happen in the church. This falls into the realm of witchcraft, and this is biblical witchcraft. A little bit of witchcraft in the marriage is all this manipulation, perverting scriptures. To pervert something is to take it and use it for a use that was not its original use. You're perverting it. When something is adulterated, you have added something to it that it is not. This is why it's called adultery. When you are married, you have a covenant. The covenant is between two. So when you add somebody else to that covenant that wasn't part of the original, what you have now done, you have now adulterated that covenant. And the one who added that relationship to it is now the adulterer. They are the adulterer. You've allowed another person to be inserted into the covenant. Well, when you get saved, you're a part of a covenant. You're in covenant with God, not only with God, but with the body, your brothers and sisters. And when you allow a life of sin, when you allow Satan to come in, a life of disobedience and sin to come into your life, you are welcoming in another covenant. You are welcoming in another covenant into your relationship, and that's an adulterer. You are now an adulterer. And this is the story of the Old Testament, because God chose his people. He wanted them to follow him, and they went after other gods so many times. Now, one of the other things I do want to let you know, witchcraft has different dimensions, because that's biblical witchcraft, you know, dealing with people like to manipulate. This is the witchcraft you see in politics, the witchcraft you see in governments, witchcraft you see worldwide. And then there is higher level witchcraft, which I want to get into as well. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. We have a change of broadcast on tonight, but we are talking about witchcraft in the church, and talked a little bit about biblical witchcraft, and we're going to continue on in that vein, talking about witchcraft in the church. So don't be afraid to call in, 563-999-3721. Call in, ask your questions, leave a comment, or just tune in. Listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and we will be back right after this.
When you walk down the street, take some time, show them love. A kind word that you say will brighten someone's day. Take some time, show God love. With a smile on your face, the joy they will embrace, show well, they may not recall every word that they've heard, but remember, your actions speak louder than words. So show the love of Christ, please show the love of Christ in all that you do. Let his love shine through you, and show the love of Christ, please show the love of Christ. Example and show the world his love. Show them love.
Lord God, I thank you right now, Lord, for your unconditional love and your precious love that you have shown towards me and allowed me to show towards others. Lord God, I thank you for your love, for your unconditional love.
You are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I am your host, Calvin D. Ward, and I want to welcome you to the show. This is a show where we do not hesitate to get into the hard topics. We bring you fresh revelation and fresh prophetic insight into biblical doctrine. So I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Please share us on social media and invite a friend. And once again, you are tuned in to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast.
Thank you, guys. Thanks once again. We're going to talk a little bit more about this biblical witchcraft, or about witchcraft in general, and then close out. Just give you a little bit of word for today. So be blessed, and I want you to invite someone. I want you to invite someone to the show and send them a link. You are tuned into the Strategic Prophetic Radio Broadcast. Call in number 563-999-3721. Thanks for listening. This is Calvin, and I'm back. And what I want to just close out and talk on, you know, we talked about biblical witchcraft, but I wanted to wet your mouth on that. And I gave you some scriptures. I went to Galatians 5 and went to Hebrews chapter 5. Galatians 5, 19 through 22, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And also actually Galatians chapter 3, 13, you know, cursed is he that hangeth on the tree. You know, so it is what it is. And so we got to show you that scripturally, that he that hungeth on the tree, or he that hanged on the tree, or he that hung on the tree was Christ. He became a curse for you. So how is it then that somebody, you would allow somebody to put you under another curse when you have been redeemed from it? This is also a message to you that there's no witch or warlock that can put you under a curse. So when these witches and people and warlocks and people who claim to put curses and spells on people, they are in tune with the individual. They are in sync with the individual. The individual believes in that to a certain extent. Now, I'm not saying it's not true because you don't believe in it, but I'm saying there's a level of belief that the individual has in it, in addition to a level of separation they don't have with Christ. And so this is where you have to operate in power, operate in Christ, and knowing whom you have believed. And this is where the purification of your spirit comes, the purification of your mind comes, so that you can begin to go forth in God to be able to have power against witchcraft. You decree, declare, rebuke, refute, renounce, reject these spirits and witchcraft spirits, no matter where they come. And when you decide that you want to reject witchcraft, this is when freedom can come to you. This is when a lot of people get free in the Lord and decide, you know, they say, well, my God, I can't stay at church now. I have to go and join another church. But there's a higher level of witchcraft as well. I want you guys to go and check out a book called Church Mafia. This is a pastor who was in Africa, and he said he went to seminary, and he was going to church. He was starting church up, and he was doing everything the right way. And he said, what happened was, I was doing everything the right way, and I was fasting and praying. He said, but the church was not growing. And so what is the problem? He said, the church is not growing. What is the problem? The church is not growing. I'm doing everything correctly. And so what he did, as many of you do, you look at some of these pastors and these preachers that are over in Africa, and you look at them and you say, oh my gosh, they have all the power. They have all the anointing, and we want to be like them. But this pastor said he did that. He said, okay, he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask one of these pastors, you know, how is your church growing? He says, I'm going to ask them, how is your church growing? You know, well, what is going on? How are you getting so many members? Because when you look in Africa, these churches have a lot of members. These churches come up big and strong, and they grow very quickly. And so he said, well, how are y'all growing this church? And he said, he asked one of the gentlemen who claimed to have been a prophet in the area. And so the prophet grabbed him. He said he got in the car with the prophet, and the prophet was on the phone. And he said how this individual had, you know, many women, you know, these were people that he was looking up to, and they had many women. He said the lifestyle didn't match what he was seeing. He said, so one day one of the individuals told him, they said, look, I'm going to take you to see somebody. So one of these so-called national prophets in their area, church is real big, miracle signs and wonders purportedly are happening, you know, all the time, all of this, all of that. Well, they took him to see what is called a witch doctor, and he lines all of this up into what was done. So basically, at the end of the day, he said there are a lot of pastors and leaders in Africa who purport to be pastors and get powers from the Lord and who purport to be called, but they set up very intricately and strategically and cunningly devised atmospheres that look like miracles. This is why you can look and see there was a pastor who had his congregation eating grass. And so the question that I have is, what is it about African peoples and their spiritual state that they can be so easily influenced to go and do things like this, right? They can be so easily influenced to go and do things like this. And so these guys go and they use the demonic. They talk about how they do human sacrifices, how they get dirt from people's houses and take it and do ceremonies on it from the witch doctor and bring it back, how they do animal sacrifices to get members to come to the church, how to get the church members to give them money. They go do things. So these churches are millionaires and they grow and grow. And so what they're doing is they're fleecing the flock and they're getting rich off of the people. When if the people are going to be rich, they need to be rich with in health, rich in strength, rich, yeah, in substance. You can have what you need. God never promised you he was going to be, you know, wealthy, 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 but you can have what you need, but you need to be rich in spirit. You need to be rich in the fruit of the spirit, rich in character, you know, be saved for real. There are just certain things that should not be when you're a bishop or an apostle or a pastor. You're supposed to be shepherding the flock. You're supposed to go after the one. You're supposed to love people. You're supposed to sit up. You know how many times I've sat up with people all night just talking about the word, answering questions. I've been on the phone with people 2 or 3 hours at a time. How many prophetic conferences that I've had, you know, just doing what the Lord has said. Do you know how we prayed for people? And, you know, some of the same people that were good friends of mine that I helped years ago, good friends of mine, some of these same people are no longer as connected to me as I was, because as the years go by, you start to see that people let the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, as the Bible say it, they let it blur their vision. And so all they want to do is be a teacher. All they want to do is be this and be known. But they have a word from the Lord, and then they don't preach. So these are people, they find some of their slick. They find another way and say, well, I don't have to preach. I can go, you know, do this business, and this business is ministry, or I have this over here and this is ministry. And so, or they use a ministry of health, or they use a ministry of music, whatever the case is. But whatever you do, you should still be preaching the gospel in it, right? And so there's nothing wrong with that, but you don't use your gift as an excuse. You don't use anything else as an excuse not to preach the gospel. And so witchcraft, according to the scripture in the Old Testament, is as the sin of rebellion. It says witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion. Excuse me. So what does that mean? Witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion. This is a person that rebels against God. That was used to refer to a scripture or an action in the scriptures. You know, there was a scripture where I believe it was Saul. Saul was sent in battle. He was told to kill everyone in the city. But he decided to save, like many people do with music. They get delivered and say, oh, I like this song by Mary J. Blige. I like this. And they bring those musical chords and those musical notes and frequencies and fractals into the church, not knowing what's attached to them. But Saul was told to kill everything. And what he did, he saved some of the best of the land, which is what people think they're doing when they bring in worldly music into the church. And he also spared the king. He spared the king, but he was told to kill all. And because he did that, and I want to go to 1 Samuel. This should be in 1 Samuel 15. And it says, but Saul and the army, verse 9, spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle. and the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. He was told to kill everything, but everything that looked good to him, here we go, pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. These things they were willing, they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. It's easy to get rid of sin or get rid of things that are a detriment when they're open. It's easy to get rid of alcoholism. It's easy to get rid of doing drugs. It's easy to get rid of going to the club. It's easy to get rid of doing things. But what about those that's beating their wife? What about those arguments? What about that cussing demon you have? What about what, you know, you want to smoke and defile the temple all the time? What about drug abuse, right? What about, you know, some of these other sins, alcoholism, homosexuality? To some people, some things are easy to get rid of, but there are some that are not. But so it's easy for you to get rid of the things that are despised to you, but what about the things that look good to you that you want to keep? And so this is what Saul did. He spared these guys, these good things, and he was not supposed to spare them, because that's not what he was told to do. And the scripture says, then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, I regret that I've made Saul king. This is God saying, I regret I made you king, for you've turned away from following me, and he has not carried out my instructions. And then the scripture says that the prophet Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord, you know, all that night. And then, of course, Samuel was angry, yada, yada, yada. But this is a situation where we see that there was disobedience. Saul was clearly given instructions on what to do, but he wanted to keep the best of the best and then turn around and try to give that back to the Lord. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to keep the best of the best and then try to give that to the Lord. And that wasn't the commandment. So how many people do that? So how many people do that? How many of us do that? We want to keep the things we think they look good, but then the things that we're told to get rid of, we don't want to get rid of. And then we want to bring this stuff in and give it to the Lord because we think we have, you know, we think it's good to be offered up to the Lord, right? So we want to keep it. We want to keep it. And so this is a good biblical example in 1 Samuel chapter 15 of the rebellion and disobedience. And what I'm going to do, I do want to give you a scripture here. Let me give you something here before we go, before I close out, because I want you to see this. I'm going to see this here. Here it is. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 15, so he kept Agag. He didn't do all the other stuff. So this is the scripture that says in verse 23 in 1 Samuel 15, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. People that don't want to listen. You've been hearing the gospel. You do what you want to do. I know, but I do me. Well, you keep on doing you, it's going to be too late, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. And so this was the prophetic time from which Saul was rejected of being king, because he disobeyed a crucial commandment of the Lord. And as a king, you should know the power of someone obeying your word. You know the power of giving commandments, the power of people obeying what you say. So how much more so should you understand the power of obeying the Lord? And the New Testament tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ, but not only that, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That means you are a kingdom of kings and priests. That means we are a kingdom of kings and priests, and we should understand what obedience is, and we should understand what it means to obey. Y'all have been talking about witchcraft in this broadcast. I've been talking about biblical witchcraft, people that use the scriptures to manipulate people, and people that use the scriptures, you know, to get what they want, to get all the money, you know, from you. Evidence of that, you got some people in the church in need, and now especially in this COVID-19 period of time, what are these churches doing? Where's the storehouse that the money should have been gone up into, going into for the poor, for the priests, for the feasts? This is a time that should be poured out. This is evidence of witchcraft. Evidence where now you got pastors still trying to take your money, though they don't want to help you do anything. They want to preach and put a Cash App up and try to get more money from you, right? They are milking you. These are people putting up all these testimonies about I sold here and so-and-so did this, because it's an infomercial. They're trying to get you to believe in what they have so that you can sow more money into them, right? So when we want people to believe in Christ, you don't give them testimony about people winning money and people getting their business, you know, expanded and this. No. When you want people to come to Christ, you put up testimony that God saved my soul, that he delivered me from witchcraft, that he delivered me from alcoholism, homosexuality. He delivered me from being, you know, a drunkard, from beating my wife. He delivered me from whatever it is. You need to have that testimony so that people can say, wow, this is power. There's the power to transform my life, not a power to come in here because Christ's going to grow my business. If I sow a tithe, he's going to bless me. If I sow money, he's going to bless every area of my life. And I don't even have to be in church. I don't even have to live for Christ. I can just sow money and get blessed. This is the message that is being sent out when we see a lot of this. And it is witchcraft, biblical witchcraft, the misappropriation of scripture, the misuse of scripture, the misinterpretation of scripture, the improper applying the improper hermeneutic to the scriptures, not delving into the right aspects of research into the scriptures, the Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, Chaldee, the ancient Sumerian, Akkadian, not digging into origins to get to the root of things. These are people who just want to have big buildings, have a people, and they gig, right? You need to find somebody in this season that's going to give you the unadulterated word of the Lord, and find somebody in this season that's going to help you out and that's going to give you what you need to sustain in the evil and wicked days that are here and the days that are yet to come. Your foundation needs to be the Spirit of the Lord. You need to rebuke these spirits and these words and these people who want to influence you to disobey God, to not obey God, to not be in tandem with. And I'm not talking about the universal God and you obey your own spirit and you do what you want to do. No, I'm talking about you obeying the word of God and subjecting yourself to the word of God and let God lead and guide your life, not you doing what you want to do. I want to thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you got something from this broadcast on today.
You've been listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, where I am your host, Calvin D. Ward. Listen, I want to thank you for tuning in. Listen, find me on Facebook at Prophet Calvin D. Ward. Go to the YouTube channel, and don't forget to go to Amazon.com to buy my new book, Metaphysics and Theology, A Discussion. Y'all, don't forget to invite someone to the next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time.